Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net. There are links there not only to four social media platforms, but the Facebook group as well, where you can interact not only with other listeners, but even some past guests from this show. Always feel free to get in touch with me personally. You can email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net or even private message me through the Facebook page or the Instagram account. I love hearing from listeners of this show, so by all means, please feel welcome to use any of those methods to reach me. Remember also that if you go to buymeacoffee.com/BruceW, you can do exactly what that website address says. This is not a sponsor, by the way, and it's not affiliated with any coffee chain or coffee company. We don't even have to be in the same city or state. It's all virtual. In the spirit of the Christmas season, and or simply to show your support for what I do each week with Catholic Sports Radio, take a look at that site, buymeacoffee.com/BruceW. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. As I look over my Catholic Sports Radio guest list, I see a lot of runners on there. More than one of them have cited the popular scripture passage that's kind of a go-to when people try to start looking for a connection between faith and sports. But if you think of an animal, a snake maybe being the first you'll think of, that sheds its skin, can you imagine it spiritually instead? Here's what I mean. Let's talk about sports. A racehorse, a sprinter, these are fast-moving beings that if you can picture them shedding their skin, just go with me on this, then isn't it kind of a similar renewal that we get through the sacrament of confession? So then now, let's read that Bible verse I was alluding to, which is from the New Testament, and specifically found in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us rid ourselves of every burden and sin that clings to us, and persevere in running the race that lies before us, while keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the leader and perfecter of faith. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest played basketball in high school and later competed in many alumni basketball games there, and was a decorated college soccer player. Attending Whittier College in California, she not only played soccer all 4 years, but was team captain for 2 years, was multiple first-team all-conference, and in her final year was both second-team All-American and Conference Player of the Year, with her team being the regular season champion. She also coached her daughter's soccer team for 1 year, and she has a strong connection to the NFL's Denver Broncos, which we will hear about today. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Erin Hahn-Barrier.
Hi, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Erin. I'm glad to have you here. Looking forward to this. Tell us, where were you born and raised? How many siblings did you have? And about your Catholic education, too.
Sure. I was born in and raised in Denver, Colorado. I grew up as the youngest of three kids, two older brothers, each about 2 years older. So I had 2 years older than 2 years older than that. So we all are really close in age. I attended Catholic school my whole life, up until college, but attended Most Precious Blood Catholic School, which was also in Denver, Colorado, and then went on to St. Mary's Academy, which is considered Englewood, Colorado, but not too far outside of Denver.
Okay. Well, talk to me about sports in your household growing up, your dad, your brothers, and maybe even how you got started into basketball.
Sure, yes. We were a very sports-oriented family. Very competitive with one another and loved to try everything. I didn't actually get into basketball I started soccer first, but I didn't get into basketball until the fourth grade. And I think that's because I was really interested in my brother playing basketball, and we played outside a lot. And finally, it was offered to me in my elementary school, so I gave it a shot.
And your father is the one that has the connection to the Broncos, yes?
Yes. He was the treasurer for the Broncos for 18 years growing up. So we had a lot of connections with the team and some of the players.
So this was what period of time? Because obviously you got a chance to interact quite a bit with the organization, I'm sure.
Right. So I'm trying to remember exactly when he started. It was late 70s, early 80s, probably, but before I was born. So he had worked there for quite a few years, and I think it was around the 90s, I think, that everybody would remember the Denver Broncos for their success when John Elway took them to back-to-back Super Bowls. But I grew up mostly with the John Elway that lost all the Super Bowls. So it was definitely not the ending we wanted, but we got to go to the Super Bowl as a family because of my dad's connection with the company. So it was wonderful to be able to have that opportunity.
I have to laugh, though, at the fact that you said you didn't start into basketball until, and I was waiting for you to say eighth grade, and you say fourth, as though that's late. So I did pick up on that for sure. And also I picked up on something that reminded me of my childhood, because we were always in the backyard playing basketball in the driveway / in front of the garage.
Right. I know I say that so off the cuff, but fourth grade was pretty late for me because I was playing soccer, I think, when I was about 5 years old.
Mm.
So I think fourth grade was kind of a late start.
And so playing basketball in high school was a result, I take it, of playing in the driveway with your brother, or brothers, plural?
Yes, absolutely. There's a funny story about that with my brother. We were playing in the driveway one day, and we had been playing. I mean, we used to do it every afternoon, right? We'd go out and play, and he was 2 years older, probably a little bit taller than me, but would always take it a little easy on me. I mean, but one day, we were just actually talking about this. That's why it's kind of funny. He was bringing it up to me to remind me, because he has never forgotten either. But he said one day he just decided that he was not going to take it easy on me.
Hmm.
He was going to steal my dribble, block all my shots, take the easy shots that he wanted to take, and he was not going to take it easy. And he remembers distinctly that I would not give up. I fought back tears. I continued to try shooting hard shots, continued to try to drive the ball into the net. Nope, he wasn't having it. And finally, he just said to me how he would never forget at that moment that I was a testament to true mental toughness, and that he knew that I was going to go far in sports just because of that.
Mm, yeah.
So, growing up with older brothers prepped me for my college life.
Yeah, I can sense that competitive nature for sure for something from a story like that. On the faith side, a few weeks ago on episode 198, we heard Javier Aguirre talk about attending multiple World Youth Days. And now here we are 4 weeks later. And Aaron, you have memories from having experienced a World Youth Day also. What was that like for you?
Oh, absolutely, Bruce. It was one of the most amazing experiences in my faith up until then. I believe I was 11 or 12. I can't remember the exact date of World Youth Day in Denver, Colorado, but I'm remembering it as such. And it was within walking distance of our home, right across the street, basically, from us at the Cherry Creek Reservoir in Inglewood, Colorado. It was one of the places that John Paul II decided to have Mass. I think he had done a pilgrimage ahead of his Mass at the Cherry Creek Reservoir. So it was all over Denver. But if I'm not mistaken, was John Paul II who organized World Youth Day to begin with?
Yes, yes.
Is that what I'm remembering?
Yes.
Okay. So he has always been somebody that has had a significant impact on me in my life as a person, as a priest, but also as the Pope and a saint. So just to be in his presence, I just felt it. But going further, since we lived so close to the Mass area, there were many young people from around the world that were all over our neighborhood and walking and camping out on the corners and waiting for the anticipation of the Mass. And my family at that point had decided, we have room, come on in.
Wow.
Everybody that can come on into our living room, just set up. And at the time, I remember my parents were kind of in the middle of getting some new furniture in our living room, so it was completely empty.
Mm.
So we had like sleeping bags just on a little area in our living room, shoulder to shoulder of people from Spain, I remember in particular, other countries, I'm sure. But the next day we all woke up and walked over together. I remember it was scorching hot. And just some of those things that you remember, but people not necessarily prepared for that type of weather, plus the altitude. But it was just overall, everybody was just so peaceful and so in sync.
Mm.
I just felt like...
So unified, it sounds like. United.
Unified, thank you. Yeah. Absolutely.
United in Christ, wow.
It was an incredible experience.
But I'm curious, because was it the fact that you lived right across the street from where the Mass was going to be held, or was it your family had decided, hey, we're a strong Catholic family, we're going to participate in this as much as we can? I mean, you told us before you did nothing but go to Catholic school until you went away to college. So was it organized by the school that we're going to go as a group? How was your participation in World Youth Day initiated? By your family, or by your proximity, or by the school, or was it all of the above?
I think it was a combination of everything. I don't remember details quite as much because I was so young, I felt like, but I remember that my brother was in high school and he was a freshman at Regis Jesuit High School in Aurora and was asked to sign up as a volunteer for World Youth Day. And so he was able to actually be within arm's length of John Paul II at times when he went to some of the events at Mile High Stadium, which it was called at the time. And then some of his other events, they just gave him a staff shirt and there you are standing next to a living saint. But I think my parents probably had more of an organizational idea of what we were going to do, but I just went with the flow.
Yeah.
Knew that what I was going to do, we were going to do it as a family.
And then you had kind of a full circle moment with a trip that you took in your junior year of high school. Tell the audience what I'm referring to.
Right. So in high school, part of my French class opportunity was to take a trip to Europe. And one of the first trips was to the Vatican during the same time that Pope John Paul was the Pope. Unfortunately, at the time, we weren't able to see the Pope at the Vatican. We knew he was there. But I, again, had that feeling of peace and knowing that this was such an incredibly holy man.
Hmm.
So that was a pretty awesome moment just to be able to take what I knew growing up with the Mass and then go to the Vatican just a few years later to see the beautiful place of Rome. It is just incredible.
I can hear it in your voice as though you just saw it a week ago and not all those years ago. So clearly it had a big impact. I want to switch now to a combination of everything that we've talked about so far. So I want to mix faith and sports now.
Sure.
For college, that meant going to California after having lived in the Denver area, quote unquote, your whole life. So what impact did that have on your life and maybe even your faith life, being that no family member was making sure that you would go to Mass every Sunday, and since you obviously were so serious about soccer?
Right. It was a scary moment, I would say, because I decided to go to California because my brother had gone to California, but it was a much different place. He was in San Diego and I was in Whittier, which is closer to LA.
Mm.
So it wasn't exactly like we were very close together. But yeah, it was a different experience. No one holding you accountable to go to Mass. And because this wasn't a faith-based college, I have to be honest, I fell out of the routine of going to Mass every Sunday, unfortunately. I did try to find a church, and I did make it when I could and when I really thought that I needed to. But other than that, no, I just didn't take it seriously, Bruce. It was unfortunate.
But I also want the audience to listen to everything that Erin just said and obviously what she's about to tell us, because it's okay to fall knowing that you're going to get back up at some point. And that's what she just said that she did. So I'm going to have her continue that story. But first, I want to point out that I mentioned Javier Aguirre's name, the guest from episode 198. Recently, you have heard me thank both him and Amy Sego. She was the guest on episode 199. They both made a financial gift to my Catholic Sports Radio ministry. This week, I have one of you, a listener, to thank. I'm not able to give out much in the way of details because when it was sent in to me, there was a request specifically to remain anonymous. I did obviously trade emails with that person to express my sincere gratitude, but I want to honor their wishes to not be identified. But I do appreciate it very much nonetheless. Unfortunately, I am challenged very much by the expenses that come with operating Catholic Sports Radio, especially since I don't get any income from doing this, nor do I have any sponsors. This ministry is me answering a call that I felt and giving back to the church with my time and talent. I will say, however, that people who send you invoices don't want to hear about ministry work or time and talent. All they want to know is, will that be Visa, MasterCard, American Express, or Discover? The people that I've mentioned, Javier Aguirre, Amy Sego, and the anonymous listener, all utilized the blue Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net to send their gift. As part of your tithing, I would encourage you to prayerfully consider doing the same. I'm optimistic that you're finding value in what I do through this ministry and that it's helping you in your faith life and that you enjoy it and want to express all of that to me. The blue Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net is fast, easy, secure, and you simply type in whatever amount you're comfortable giving, plus it will even let you include a note for me to see. Alternatively, as you have heard me mention in the past that some have opted to do, you can write to me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net to request the information for sending a check through the mail instead. Either way, it means a lot to me because it tells me that the work I'm doing is making an impact, and yes, it helps me pay the bills that I have for Catholic Sports Radio. As you're hearing, I will happily say the name of anyone who makes a gift to this ministry, or as is the case with the listener I'm referring to on this episode, you can choose to remain anonymous. Please know my sincere gratitude for listening to the show, for telling others about it, and for supporting the work that I do in my ongoing efforts to move more people closer to Christ through this ministry. Erin, before all that, you were saying that church was not a priority for you in college. Tell us what brought you back to the church.
Yeah, so I have to just, first of all, give credit to my parents for raising all three of us in the faith the way they did. And I really do believe that that's what made me come full circle, because of the formation that my parents gave us as children and throughout my life, and prayed for us daily, said novenas, rosaries, all the time.
Wow.
Would always voice that to me, saying that their biggest joy was to pray for us kids. So I truly believe in the power of that prayer, that I came full circle. And so I would have to say after college is when I came full circle, when I met my husband a few years after I graduated. And he grew up in the Church of Christ, I believe, which is a Protestant faith, and was baptized, but really wanted to explore Catholicism and truly believed that we needed to be the same faith to have a strong family. And so when we decided to get married, we went through our CIA, and I know that some programs don't allow, but I was allowed to be his sponsor. So through that sponsorship, I almost relearned my entire faith and to an adult lens, and, you know, a mature lens, mm-hmm. able to really take it in and know the importance of the catechism. And from there, I just knew that that was the beginning of the journey of my conversion. Wow. Back into the church.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty powerful.
Beautiful, beautiful. And interestingly, you say that COVID forever changed your faith for the better. How so?
I know, surprise. Yes, COVID, I constantly say to my friends and family, what a blessing COVID has been for our family.
Wow.
Obviously, it was such a hard time for so many people and for us as well. It was probably the darkest I've ever felt, was raising 3 school-age children in the midst of the virus and the lockdowns and the masks and the vaccinations and you name it, all the trials we were shoved into in a very abrupt moment. And I felt completely out of control and knew that the only thing that was going to get me through it was the Lord.
Mm.
And I just at one moment decided in the midst of tears that I was going to completely surrender to his will.
Mm.
I'm getting emotional. But in essence, I had had my kids in a school we loved, in a community we absolutely loved, in a Catholic school and a Catholic community. And at that point, I was hearing the Lord telling me that I needed to homeschool my children. And so I say for the better because we are in our first year of homeschool and I have an amazing gift I never knew I always wanted. And it's because I surrendered to him.
Wow. Oh, that's powerful. That's powerful. And don't worry about the emotion. We tend to get a lot of that on the show. I can probably sit here and list off a handful of episodes where I can distinctly remember the guest having tears on the other end of the line. So it's very much accepted here. You have 3 kids. They all play sports.
Yeah.
Share with us their ages and what they play, but also what you told me recently that you are trying to instill in them in terms of their sports life.
Well, I do. I have 3 kids in the same exact order that I was growing up, which is a little funny. I have 2 boys and a girl. My daughter is my baby, and the oldest is 12, and then a 10-year-old, and my daughter is 9. And yes, they all play sports. My boys are probably the most competitive in their sports at this point, if you think about teams, but my daughter plays for a recreational soccer team. I'm not pushing her at this point. I'm not going to try to make her be, but we're getting there. I've known that 1 year under my belt of coaching her, I knew that I just needed to keep my mouth shut and just let her be her own person. So, but she enjoys soccer. She doesn't necessarily have the drive that I had when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely see the competitive drive in my boys. And they both play lacrosse at a very high club traveling team level, which is a fun sport to watch. So it's been, and they also play basketball and flag football. They've tried all the sports, but I would say their biggest passion is lacrosse.
And so mom's lesson to them playing sports is?
Yes. So I grew up not realizing how important it was to incorporate the Lord into everything that we do. And just having that relationship. I mean, if he's our best friend, we want to invite our best friend to our game. We want to talk to him about our games. We want him to be a part of all that we do. And I think, especially in sports, especially before the game, reaching out, asking for prayer, asking for help, and on both sides of the field, for a fair competition and incorporating that glory to God in the beginning and the end. So that's what I'm instilling in my kids, because I wish in retrospect that I had had that knowledge in order to give him the glory every single one of my competitions, because I just didn't at that point. I didn't have that mindset. So it's really important to me to instill that in my kids.
Fantastic. When I was talking about people who've recently made a gift to Catholic Sports Radio, I mentioned Amy Sego from episode 199. During my conversation with her, she talked about a Catholic moms group that she is a part of. Aaron, similarly, you too can share about that environment.
Sure, yes. I am wanting to get into a Catholic women's group called Endow, and I haven't quite gotten into the organized group, but I will say that through my kids' old school and the group of women, it was a huge component in my decision to homeschool, and the group of women together, when we were just, Christ was our center and we leaned on Christ and talked with one another, really got us through that hard time, especially those first 2 years with COVID. So that is something that I would love to continue to explore in an organized setting. So that sounds just right up my alley.
So it sounds like what you're saying you've done up until this point has been something informal with, is it other mothers from the school or the parish, or maybe they're one and the same?
One and the same. Yep. It was unorganized, but family mothers in from the Catholic school that my kids attended last year.
Okay. Well, since we are just under 2 weeks away from Christmas, let's close by having you share with the audience about two ministries that you are supporting in conjunction with the holiday.
Sure. First of all, we have been participating in this one for quite some time because it was offered through my kids' school, but it's something that anybody can go and reach out and see about. It's called Operation Christmas Child. It is a ministry where you fill a shoebox as packed as you can make it and send it off to a child in need. And you can fill one shoebox or you can fill 20 shoeboxes. But it's a wonderful organization that just provides a Christmas for a child in need. And then the other one that we have decided to do as a family this year is unbound.org, which is just that, on the online, unbound.org. And it's sponsoring a child for Christmas or for however long you'd like. So it's a monthly sponsorship, and you get a picture of your child, usually from a different country, and it gives you updates throughout the year. And this is just a wonderful opportunity to teach your children about worldly needs and giving to others. So those are two that we've really thought were great for Christmas this year.
Yeah, very much so, very much so. And shame on me, by the way, you mentioned before about meeting your husband and that being the impetus for you going back to church, and you talked about RCIA, but I didn't ask you how long the two of you have been married for.
Oh, yes, we've been married 14 years this September.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, Aaron, gosh, it's been so wonderful having you on the show. Thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio, and God bless you and your family.
Thank you, Bruce. God bless you, too.
And folks, as a nod to all the time that Aaron spent in her career as an athlete, I thought it would be fitting to acknowledge Aaron the athlete by way of the following prayer that we will close with together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a fellow turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup, and he learned too late when the night came down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt, and when you never can tell how close you are, it may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when your hardest hit. It's when things seem worst, you must not quit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.